Today is Paengno. According to Korea's traditional seasonal divisions, I think I've talked about this day on the show before. It is actually translated as the Day of White Dewdrops. It is the third seasonal mark in autumn, but it is actually starting this day that the season is said to truly begin. Once again, I have to acknowledge how accurate these seasonal divisions are. I mean, I don't know about dewdrops, but we definitely have been seeing a lot of raindrops here in Seoul yesterday and today. It almost feels like the rain is trying to make autumn arrive faster, making the temperatures drop, making the leaves change colors as well. Sure feels like autumn will be waiting for us on the other side of this bout of rain. It's the kind of a chilly Tuesday that calls for some ballads and a warm cup of coffee and good company, of course. I'm Lena Park, and this is One Fine Day. Welcome to One Fine Day with Lena Park. That was Yoongun starting us off today with 라떼처럼, or like latte. So, I don't know if you guys know, but here in Seoul, it's been raining a lot. Yeah, it's another wet day today. We've got a lot of fog to boot. Yesterday, it rained all day, apparently. And the rain has finally made the temperatures drop. It's no summer rain, that's for sure. It feels like, I've got this feeling, it's that when this rain stops, then yes, officially, there will not be any traces of summer left. It is a very autumnal Tuesday here in Seoul. So what is it like where you are? Our global roll call is coming up in just a moment. Tell me where you are and what you're doing, and also what the weather might be like there as you are listening to today's One Fine Day. While at it, you can include any song requests that you might have, and feel free to share your 사연들, stories and anecdotes about anything and everything. Nothing's too trivial. Anything goes. Message me on Kong, right on the various message boards on our website at world.kbs.co.kr, or leave a comment on our latest posts on Instagram at KBS One Fine Day and Facebook at facebook.com/EnglishKBS. If you have a Korean phone number, you can text me at sharp 8150. It's 50 won per SMS and 100 won per MMS. In part two of today's show, Professor Cynthia, you will be joining us for our Tuesday segment, OFD and Chill. So I hope you do stay tuned to find out which movie or drama she'll tell us about today. And now I'll be right back with today's Where Are You after this song break. Here is Happy by Shinhyeonie. One Fine Day is coming to you live from Seoul, Korea. Right now it's 5:20 p.m. and I know I mentioned this already, but wow, there was so much is it fog or is it cloud cover in the air? I think it's maybe a little bit of both, but it was to the extent that a lot of the buildings were obscured even from view right outside of KBS here. But now I am inside talking to you from a studio located on the fourth floor of the main KBS building in Yeouido, Seoul. Where are you? It is our global roll call, a chance for me to find out where in the world all my listeners are and what you are all up to today aside from tuning into the show. It is Where Are You time. Listener LeoMain7 checks in from Rotonda, West Florida, USA. Welcome to the show and thanks for letting us know where you are. Jisukim0801 writes, 안녕하세요, 누나. You look so beautiful. Well, I got my first shot yesterday and I'm taking a day off today. I'm having a little bit of muscular pain and feeling a little tired, but It seems all good so far. It feels nice to be immune to that notorious virus, even if it's just to a limited extent. I'm somewhat worried about the second shot, though. Well, congrats again for the 4th anniversary. I think I wrote too late last week. OFD, fighting! Well, congratulations on getting your first shot. Most people seem to have the same story after the first shot. Muscular pain, a little fatigue. Well, I think that's really, really good news. Yes, we're all a little nervous about our second shot, but hey, it'll pass. We'll get it over with, right? Listener, I'm Kelly writes, what's the occasion? You look superbly gorgeous. Aw, thank you. Referring to my selfie today on our Instagram page, at @KBS1FineDay. I'm Kelly writes, I got my first vaccine shot this morning. When I got back home, I was going to relax on the couch, but accidentally, I took a 4-hour nap. Glad that there are no other serious symptoms so far, except for a little pain in my left arm and feeling low energy with a mild fever. This deep nap may be due to the common side effects of the vaccine, but sometimes it's easier to fall asleep somewhere other than in the bed. When I lie down on the bed at night, my mind starts to race as I try to fall asleep, so it takes a long time to go off to sleep. But there are times that I fall asleep easily or quickly on a couch or in a car. So weird. Well, I'm Kelly. I'm sure that this is a very common phenomenon for a lot of us. Definitely that's true for me too. I get the most deep and lovely naps on my couch. But then when I try to go to bed, nothing happening. Too many thoughts racing through my mind. Yeah, pretty common thing. So hopefully at least knowing that you're not the only one. Maybe there's just something about our mental mechanisms that makes this happen. Maybe we can try and find more creative ways to try and get to bed easier. As for the picture, real quickly, I was, of course, yesterday's show was pre-recorded, as you all know, because I was actually taping for my new TV show, and that was a little selfie shot before we went out into our very long and grueling taping. Yes, I'm talking literally like plus 12 hours. Pretty soon you guys are going to be seeing a lot of social media, kind of promo teasers, etc., for the new upcoming show. So I thought it was okay to post this on One Fine Day because I'm wearing the same clothes. Glad you guys like. Mogere Machuki likes. He writes, you look so pretty today. And to please play any Korea pop song currently in the chart for my Indian radio colleague who is on tour in France, Aditha Prithika. All right. Well, you've come to the right place. We've got lots of current chart-topping songs on our playlist as well as some classics as well. So stay tuned. Lim Toya says, a new day, heading to season 5 of OFD. I like that. Not year 5, but season 5. Yeah. This is Toya from Japan. Toya ha! Totally autumn mood for you, Lena. We had a location scouting at Dottori sand dunes a few weeks ago. It was a quite difficult business trip. High temperatures that reflected by the sands. Oh, I don't want to come again, at least in the daytime of summer season. And last weekend when I listened to your CD, I am surprised that your Japanese first album jacket's background was the same place. This is not an easy place to visit, but you had a shooting in there, and after knowing that your song sounds different as usual, temperature is getting lower and lower after raining, I'm already missing the summer. Yes, very good eye. Maybe you read the credits, I'm not sure how you know, but it was the same photo shoot that was for my 2002 fourth album. And if you check out the fourth album, it is the one that has Gume in it. I'm standing in a sand dune that is none other than Dottori, right in Japan. Very good eye. Gobindo Ghosh says, hi Lena, how are you? Me? Fine. Good to know. Muhammad Salim Akhtar also says, hi Lena, how are you? I'm okay. I'm pretty tired today, I'm not gonna lie. So if I start babbling incoherently, just blame it on the tiredness. But it was all for a good cause, for a wonderful new TV show that's coming up. So I hope it was worth it. Meaning, please watch it. D1 Rafi Kul Islam says, hello, Lena. Hope you are all fine. Now I am in my office. Wonderful. Hope work is going swimmingly. Moving right along to our song requests. First request from listener Hema1512, who writes, "Hi DJ Lena, today it's a lazy climate here. I just want to lie in bed. So my request is Be Lazy by Day 6. Oh, that's totally my playlist today, being lazy. ShamMDXCR2020 writes, "Good morning, Lena Park. Once again, greetings from India. Today I am in the office for attending online classes on lifestyle diseases." Oh, that's interesting. "Please play Dun Dun Dance by Oh My Girl for my friends. Thank you." All right, thank you for your song requests, both of you. Here they are right now. First up, Day 6 with Be Lazy. And after that, it's Oh My Girl with their song Dun Dun Dance. That was Dun Dun Dance by Oh My Girl. And then before that, Day 6 with Be Lazy. Moving on to more messages. Grace and Bless is all Anni Gurtas. Oh, you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, a lot of nice, very flattering compliments on my selfie pic today. Coolie0111 writes, "La, 연예인이다." It's a celebrity. Yes, sometimes I actually look the part. Forever Lena says, "You are very beautiful." Nice little tulip emoji for me. Thank you. Sweet 030323 writes, "안녕하세요, 정연 언니. So pretty. Did you have a taping for 풍류대장? I really can't wait to see the show." Oh, I can't wait for you guys to see the show. "These days, I'm working on a number of projects at work. I'm so busy and scatterbrained, but I'm also happy to be working on a project to start a handball team for those with developmental disabilities. I have a lot of experience. I have experience founding a soccer team for those with disabilities about 10 years ago, and so this is a new challenge for me. I'm very excited." 응원해주세요. Oh, wow, that is fantastic. Getting together people to do wonderful fitness things. Sports is so much fun. It's also great, builds a lot of great camaraderie and getting out there and being active, especially for people who have disabilities. They can also gather and network and find support with each other as well. Wonderful idea. J.S. Lee 2017 writes, "안녕하세요, 정연 누나. Did you have a good weekend? I got a refund on the bicycle. Yay! And bought a new one. And to celebrate, I rode the bike around Gungpyeonghang over the weekend. They say that the sunset seen in Gungpyeong is one of the prettiest sights among the 8 great sceneries of Hwaseong. I got to see it in earnest this time. My family drove there, but they had a hard time finding a parking space. I didn't have to worry about parking with my bike, so I got to see all the nooks and crannies. I think I'll ride that course often from now on." Oh, that sounds very fabulous. I've never been to Gungpyeong Harbor, and so I'll probably have to check it out. So many places in Korea that I have yet to explore as well. So I love hearing about all these stories from you, my listeners, and all the little places that they've discovered. I've got to start making a list, I think, to check it all out. Listener Yumijang asks, "Onni, did you have a good weekend?" "I did. It was fairly busy, but we got through it. Right now, Yumi is having a type of coffee that I really like. It's only available in the autumn. I wasn't even thinking about it, but I got to taste it today, and it is so yummy. I guess it really is autumn now. I seem to feel the change in season while washing the dishes, too. I suddenly prefer warm water these days. Well, have a warm day. Request song I use, Love Poem." It's so true, right? For the longest time, for the past few months, when I wash my hands, even also showering, I only turned on the cold water. Well, for washing the dishes, I still use hot water. But for washing my hands, because it's so hot, I just didn't even bother with the hot water tap because it's separate. And then, lo and behold, from about just last week and on, I've started to actually turn on a little bit of the hot water, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are transitioning, that's for sure. All right, we're going to listen to Yumi Jang's song request for our next song break. Here is IU with Love Poem. You're listening to One Fine Day with Lena Park on KBS World Radio. Listener Yulbro1317 writes, 언니, 안녕하세요. Did you have a good weekend? I did. Today I went to a parent-teacher conference for my son who is in second grade. It lasted almost 40 minutes. He is doing so well in school. He's getting along fine with his classmates. And he used to be very shy during presentations, but now he has gotten a lot more confident. The teacher said that he is following the class curriculum very well and that he is not lacking in any way. I was so happy and proud as a parent. The teacher also said that the kids are so amazing for not taking the mask off even once while in school for the second year. I truly hope that COVID will die down soon, if only for the kids. You. Well, congratulations on that's just like the best kind of parent-teacher conference that you can possibly have. So congratulations. That sounds really, really fantastic. So, so proud as well of your son and... Very true, if only for the children who I think are really suffering a lot in terms of just really missing out on, the wonderful social life that we got to enjoy when we were kids. They're not getting that. But we just hope that they will adapt and kind of grow in their own way, despite. All right. Listener Alicia Y writes, my friends in Perth and pretty much most other parts of the world have been raving all weekend about how good Shang-Chi was. It's also been all over the mass media and social media, and it's especially special to Sydney-siders, as the movie was, in fact, filmed in Sydney. But oh, the irony. No one in Sydney can watch the film yet because all cinemas have been shut down indefinitely. I really hope all the good shows we've missed the past few months will air in cinemas when they finally do reopen, even if they're past their peak by then. I agree. I think that because these are extraordinary circumstances when you are experiencing a lockdown and movie theaters are closed down, sure, why not revive it and play all the stuff that we missed out on, you know, all those big blockbuster movies that you gotta check out on the big screen. I'm sure that will happen. Well, good luck. Hope you get to see it soon. Wow, I guess it's really good, huh? All right. Listener Kim Hyo-sun says, hi, Jeongyeon Anni. It's been almost a year since I listened to One Fine Day last time. Sorry for coming back so late. I was so busy settling in Seoul. I'd lived in many countries in the last 6 years. Seoul is the coldest and fastest city in the world. It was hard to ease myself into here, even though I am 100% Korean. Whenever I got depressed, your singing videos comforted me a lot. Playing your songs became a first step of my daily routine. Thankfully, everything got well organized now, which means One Fine Day will be a part of my life again, and I'm so happy to be back. Song request is You Mean Everything to Me by Lena Park. All right, well, welcome back to One Fine Day. We're always here. And so glad you were able to finally settle in sufficiently and comfortably into Seoul. Yes, it can be 냉정한, a kind of a cold and really, really busy and bustling city. Mm-hmm. So, congratulations on that, and I hope to hear more from you in the future. You know, it just so happens that our listener, Jisoo Kim, requested the swing jazz version of this song, so it's been a while since we played it. Let's listen. Here is me, Park Jeong-hyun, with You Mean Everything to Me from the album Cover Me. All right, let's listen. Not entirely. Two different songs from two different parts of the world. It's like they belong to a parallel universe. It's time to listen to a couple of songs that are seemingly nothing alike, but actually somewhat similar in one way or another upon closer inspection. One K-pop track and one non-K-pop track. It's Parallel Universe, and today we're going to listen to two songs that share the title, Burning. First up is the K-pop song Bunning by Rothy, Korean pronunciation Roshi. Roshi is the first female solo artist discovered and produced by Korean Emperor Ballads himself, singer-songwriter Shin Seung-woon. Her song Burning was the title track of her 2018 mini-album entitled Shape of Rothy. It was produced and composed by Shin Seung-woon with lyrics by none other than our good friend, lyricist Ina Kim. It is a very poetic song that compares love to candlelights and fireflies, and it starts out like this. It's just a candlelight burning, just a small fire, a fire that could be put out by a small breath. Riding the wind, it's burning, spreading to fill the heart, a fire that kept on growing every day. The hot head stops thinking, maybe I'm burning. All right. You would think that burning was very fiery, right? But actually, it's got a more subtle kind of tone here. Very appropriate for a very young artist like Rothy. As for our non-K-pop song, we'll listen to Burning by English singer-songwriter Sam Smith. This song was released as a promotional single from his second studio album, entitled The Thrill of It All, back in 2017. Sam Smith has described the song as the most personal song he'd ever written in their life. They wrote the song while they were going through a really rough time after a breakup. They said that they dealt with the breakup in a bad way, going out too much, drinking too much, smoking, and in their own words, not respecting or looking after themselves, going into a bit of a spiral. They said, you sometimes want to be a bit rebellious. You kind of want to ruin something great. Oh, so true. And that's the only way I can explain it. And before I got too intense, I pulled everything back in and I sorted myself out. And it was music that saved me again and really just got my head into the right headspace. All right. Well, thank goodness for that, so that he could offer up these wonderful songs and keep on performing for us. Here's a bit of the song's words. Had respect for myself, that river ran dry. You reached the limit, I wasn't enough. It's like the fire replaced all of the love. I've been burning, yes, I've been burning. Such a burden, this flame on my chest. No insurance to pay for the damage, yeah, I've been burning up since you left. Ah, using a different kind of nuance of the term burning. Here we're thinking of more of like burning out. Yes, just getting spent. All right, two very different songs about two very different ways we could be burning inside. Let's listen. Here's Burning by Roshi and then Burning by Sam Smith. That was Burning by Sam Smith, and before that, Burning by Roshi. Those were the Parallel Universe songs of the day. Coming up in part two of our show, our expert with impeccable taste, Professor Cynthia Yu, will join me in the studio for OFD and Chill. So don't change that channel. But for now, let me wrap up part one first with BoA. It's her song, Only One. Welcome to part two of One Fine Day with Lena Park. OFD and Chill will be starting soon. Professor Cynthia is going to join me here in the studio. So if you can't decide which Korean movie to watch next or which K-drama to binge on next, you'll definitely have to hear out what she recommends. Let's listen to some songs so Cynthia can get settled in. First up here is Lee Ji-hyung and Gaepi with 아름다웠네, It Was Beautiful. And after that, we'll listen to Thomas Cook with 아무것도 아닌 나, I Am Nothing at All. Thank you. At any given moment, countless titles are showing at the movie theaters, and even more dramas are there for you to binge. When every one of them is as inviting as the next, how do you decide just where to start? Maybe you should first OFD and chill. K-dramas have been huge for several decades, but the real secret's out. Korean films are just as awesome. So whether it be film or TV, you are ready to overcome that one-inch-tall barrier of subtitles, but you just don't know where to start, well, OFD and Chill is going to be your guide. So, as usual, our guide, an expert with keen tastes, it is Professor Cynthia Yu. Welcome. Welcome back.
Hello. Hello.
How are you enjoying the new season? It is officially, truly autumn, very autumnal today.
I know. It seems to rain each time I come over to the station. Although not as much today, right?
Yeah, so far it's been working out like that. Mm. And I was mentioning this earlier in the show, but I just get this feeling that once this rain stops, that's it. We're going to be full on autumn mode,
yeah.
Which was already going to be really short, so then full on winter mode.
Oh, no.
And the most stressful thing for me, more than anything else, is what do I do with my summer clothes? I got to put that away. I'm going to need sweaters.
Yeah, that's right.
I was quite enjoying my summer wardrobe, but the aspect of the fact, well, pretty much everything I have out is not appropriate all of a sudden.
I know.
So sudden.
It's transitional, right? We call it our transitional wardrobe.
Yeah.
But then it's so short.
It is. It's not a long transition at all.
No.
It's just so fast. And I don't know why it seems faster and faster, but lots of things bringing in the autumn as well as the start of the new school semester.
That's right.
How is that going?
Oh, my students are so cute and so eager.
Yeah. I love that.
And I also saw some familiar faces from previous classes, so that's good.
Oh,
I didn't totally scare them away.
So. Oh, good. You have some returning students. That's a really good sign.
Mm-hmm.
We have JS Jerry 76, JS Lee, Alicia Kim Jisoo, Sweet 0303233, Kong Listener 76373969, and Lahab 82. They all say 안녕하세요. Hello, hello, Cynthia 교수님. Mm. 어서 오세요.
Thank you.
Got a nice, rousing welcome here today. Yes, and Alicia wanted to mention, I haven't got dinner prepared today, but I've got a pack of expired snake lollies or jellies. It's the closest thing I have to jellies.
Oh.
And maybe I should start making myself a matcha latte too, inspired from Cynthia's Instagram.
Ah, oh, my tea room post.
Mm-hmm.
I love that place.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. There's a very ASMR quality about watching them prepare whisking that tea.
That's right.
It looked like you had the tea beer. Was it the tea beer?
My friend had the tea beer, and I had the sort of tea with orange juice.
Oh, interesting.
It's kind of like you wouldn't think it might work, but they do work quite well.
Oh, that sounds fun. Kind of reminds me of Arnold Palmer's. Do you know what Arnold Palmer's are? The 50-50s?
With orange juice?
Lemonade and iced tea.
Oh.
One of my favorite beverages.
Okay. A little bit spiked, I imagine, with something?
No. It's half lemonade, half iced tea, and apparently it was something that famous pro golfer Arnold Palmer loved and asked for at the country club to mix his lemonade and iced tea, so they call it the Arnold Palmer.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I mean, it's iced tea with a spike of lemon.
Yes,
right?
A spike of citrus. So that was probably yours, but probably more exotic feeling because it was green tea matcha, right? Which has got a very strong taste. And then balanced with some sweet orange juice. Yum.
Also, it just looks like a sunrise or something.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Kind of
a sunrise
so
in a gardening.
I love that. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. And I think Cynthia knew I was a little tired today because she's treating me with a topic today that's sort of kind of going to make me happy.
Actually, I, prepared a different sort of segment earlier in the week.
Oh, okay.
But I saw this movie and I just loved it. You know, when you see a movie and it just hits all the right buttons.
You're like, oh my gosh, I just want to share it with everyone.
And it feels a little different, but still familiar. But it, we'll start it and we'll talk about it in more
detail. Let's just launch into it. Mm-hmm. And you're not the only one. I think this movie was very, very popular and had a lot of buzz even before it was released. Something that I've really been wanting to watch. I'm so bummed I didn't take the time and make the effort to catch it in the movie theaters when it was out. So let's look over it again, and I can kind of keep my eyes peeled for when it's released in, I don't know, maybe VOD, video on demand.
It's on the streaming sites. Yay! That's why I was able to catch it last week.
I am saved. All right. Makes me even more excited to launch into today's topic, which is...
The movie is 소리도 없이.
I love that title, too.
Right. The English translation is Voice of Silence.
Not literally. Voice of Silence.
Right. I like the literal translation.
Me too.
Without a sound.
소리도 없이. Without even a sound.
Right. I think they had a working title called Without a Trace.
Yes.
That's, you know, that's a very kind of, how do I say, more natural.
Yes. True.
But I like the sort of without a sound.
And sound and silence is extremely important to the theme of this movie, right?
Yes. This movie came out last year. So it was during the sort of all the COVID
crazy
sort of craziness.
Pandemic-ness, yes.
Right? But it did win a lot of acclaim. You know, it's the first movie from a female director, Hong Eui-jung. And it's described as a... indie, crime, drama. I would also put in like black comedy, satire, kind of a, you know, convoluted, you know, plot, twisting plot, you know, everything you can sort of put in. It's such a, the plot itself is very unexpected, but pleasantly so.
I see. Okay.
So it came out last year. It stars Yuan.
Yes, who we've talked about in depth.
And Yu Jae-mong. Right? And it also stars some great child actors and lesser-known sort of character actors.
I see.
Who all did a fantastic job.
Okay.
Of portraying various members of the, you know, of the Korean crime kind of community out there.
I see. Okay.
But,
little network of criminals.
Yes.
I love that.
It is. Basically, Yuan and Yu Jae-myung play what we would consider to be a cleanup crew.
They're cleaners.
They're cleaners. They basically have the long sheets of plastic.
Oh, no.
And they get rid of the bodies.
Right.
Right? They're a cleanup crew in that sense.
So you've got some really, really bad guys calling up Yuan and Yu Jae-myung. They're a team.
They're a team.
And they're the cleaners. They're going to try and remove, like you said, like the working title, all traces of the crime.
Of the crime.
And literally clean it up. We know them colloquially as cleaners in movie lingo.
Yes. They're not paid much. I believe they're paid maybe 10만 원.
Grunt
I think
work.
Yuan gets maybe like 3만 원 or something. Like 30 bucks.
Just
and Yu Jae-myung gets
cat ride home in some, you know, jajangmyeon for dinner.
That's right.
Thank goodness.
You know. So, you know, this movie was developed through a prize-winning screenplay by the director, Hong Yi-jung, right? It was shortlisted for the Sundance Screenwriters Lab, and it was one of the top 12 projects at the Venice Biennale Collage Cinema, which is awarded for sort of up-and-coming new directors and writers.
Oh, I see. Wow. Right?
But this, you know, debut feature did actually quite well. At the box office last
year.
Despite that it was 2020. I mean, apparently it was the highest indie film opening after the outbreak of COVID-19.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's not 천만. We're not talking about 10 millionaire here.
Most movie theaters you have, you know, if we remember, were actually completely shut down. So to say that this was pretty successful at the box office is really saying a lot.
But I remember word of mouth last year. Everyone, it was such a huge buzz about this movie.
Yeah.
So I remember really wanting to catch this film at all. Film too.
Yeah, me too.
And the basic synopsis or the plot of the movie is that Yuan plays Tain. And he's a very young guy who doesn't speak.
Okay, he's you mute.
Know, he's mute. Mm-hmm. You know, Yoo Jae-myung, who plays Chang-bok, his mm-hmm. partner in crime, mm-hmm. says, you know, there's something wrong with his throat.
Oh, so okay.
Just there, it's a physical thing. It's not a sort of emotional or psychological mm-hmm. issue. Mm-hmm. So Yoo Jae-myung plays Chang-bok, who also has kind of a problem with his leg.
I see.
So he sort of drags it along. Mm. So you see this kind of mismatched folks who are not... who are in the crime game, but on the very outer limits, right? Because they are not, they're not star players here.
No,
that's
true.
Both intellectually or physically.
Physically. Oh, right? All right. So you're already kind of misfits of sorts.
That's right. Misfits. Mm-hmm. And Chang-bok is very interesting because he's quite religious.
Oh.
So, you know, he when he buries the victims or... you know, the body.
Yes, uh-huh.
He brings out his Bible and gives him a little prayer.
Little last rites
before they go on, you know.
Interesting.
One of the really interesting things about these two characters mm-hmm. is that they go about their jobs as if they were just cleaning at a motel or something.
Right, like just janitors.
Incredibly just, you know,
matter
ordinary
of fact.
Thing. Exactly.
Kind of adding to this kind of unusual but yet very compelling sort of quirky, like you said, maybe black comedy tinge on the whole premise.
Yes.
Interesting. GHSK509 says, wow, after watching this movie, I thought Yuen, he's just the best young male actor in Korea. The movie was great, too. Mm-hmm. We're going to launch into a little bit more, whet our appetites here without giving too much away about Voice of Silence, 소리도 없이. But first, let's take our song break. Here's Kim Pierre with 그때 그 아인, Someday the Boy. We just listened to Kim Pierre with 그때 그 아인, Someday the Boy. I'm sure many of our listeners recognize that as one of the breakout hits from the OST of Itaewon Class, which was, I know it's 2 degrees of separation, pretty much the breakout role for Yoo Jae-myung, putting him truly on the star map after that stint. And it was after that stint that he starred in, right soon after that huge success of Itaewon Class, here he was in his film, headlining.
That's right.
Maybe for the first time, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I mean, I think this was a very big role for him. Although, I kind of think this movie belongs to Yuen and the character of an 11-year-old girl who is kidnapped. And then she is then taken by Yuen and Yoo Jae-myung.
I see.
For, quote-unquote, safekeeping.
Safekeeping. Mm-hmm. So Tae-in and Chang-bok suddenly become... inadvertently become
child kidnappers.
Okay.
Not just cleaners.
It's not great.
Crew. So because the usual they're sort of their boss.
Right.
Gives them an extra job.
Sure.
And
extra job means probably extra money.
Right.
Right.
So they go to this, you know, little office towel thinking, you know, they'll have to pick someone up and just keep them around for a while.
Sure.
And then, lo and behold, it's an 11-year-old little girl wearing a rabbit's mask.
Oh.
Which I'll explain a little bit later.
Okay.
There's a little symbolism to that mask as well. And they're stunned and they want to return the girl. But, oh no, you know, the guy who gave him the job did it behind his boss's back.
Oh.
And then he becomes the next victim that these two have to clean up afterwards.
Oh, so there's nobody to answer for this little girl. There's no one to hand her off to. They're sort of hands up in the air. What do they do? Okay. All right.
So now they are totally inexperienced, not up to the task, but they have to figure out the kidnapping game.
Ah.
So the movie is about these kind of two misfits, totally... folks out of their league trying to figure out how to get rid of this girl and make some money off of it.
Okay, so they're like, hey, don't they, like, you know, do ransoms or something like that? Let's try that kind of thing. And then hijinks ensue?
Yes.
Okay.
And, you know, I mentioned earlier that, you know, the plot is unpredictable. There are a lot of twists and turns.
Okay.
But I found them all really satisfying.
Oh, okay.
I don't think everyone would agree.
I see. Oh.
You know,
do you think that some viewers kind of wished that followed the formula, even if a little subconsciously?
Yes.
Okay, okay.
Because of the character played by Yu-Ain.
I see.
Tae-in is uneducated. Mm-hmm. He's basically emotionally and socially a kid.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
Trapped in the body of this sort of lumbering adult.
Oh, okay.
Yu-Ain actually... sort of put on weight for this. Almost 15 kilograms or 30 pounds
for
this.
Over 30 pounds?
He actually has a gut in this movie.
Okay.
I've never seen Yu-Ain with a gut.
So he just sort of, I want to say he's sort of channeling Hodor a little bit. Hodor.
The director actually showed him a video clip of gorillas.
Gorillas.
To help him sort of, figure out how to portray this
just
character.
Just archetypally his body. Mm-hmm. Not a fast, but hiding hidden strength.
Yes.
So he's a little intimidating.
Yes.
But you can't communicate with him. You don't know what he's thinking. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
But he does a lot. He was constantly asked in his interviews, so what did you think of the screenplay? Wow, it had no lines for the first time.
Sure.
I didn't have to memorize lines.
Yeah.
But that left Yoo Jae-myung with a lot of work.
Oh, I can see that. He had to do all the heavy lifting, huh?
Right. He had to explain who they were and, what they were doing, this whole situation, right?
I see.
He was a very, very chatty partner. And it sort of reminded me of Fargo movies.
I see.
And
Coen Brothers stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where you have this sort of
very quirky,
mismatched pair.
That's true. That's true.
And also they have these sorts of...
Misadventures.
Mm-hmm. And they portray evil as sort of banal.
That's right. That's
right?
Very true.
These people who just go about doing their jobs, very criminal behavior.
Really? Bad, shocking things to the audience.
But they're portrayed and they're acting like as if they're the good guys.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think the director intended for these two characters.
I see.
You are made to feel sympathy for these characters.
Mm-hmm.
I think, but through the course of the movies, the story and what happens to these characters, the audience will feel a little betrayed. Because at various points in the movie, that veil of,
Sympathy. First of all, you're steeped in empathy, but maybe that's a little bit, you expect redemption and a happy ending or something will work out for these people. And it...
No.
If you have to have one spoiler, no, it doesn't.
Well, that would be a fantasy. That's not
true.
Reality, right?
It's actually very
These are
true,
people
yes.
doing bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They shouldn't be rewarded with, a fortune or, being released from their guilt or their, the consequences of their actions.
I see, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think the, director and the story does a great job of showing that through this movie.
That sounds very fascinating that Hong Rui-jung took the time to gather sympathy for these characters and then just flip it on us and say, but hey, in fact, I guess she's sort of doing a little bit of satire by genre bending itself. Very smart.
Mm-hmm.
Very intelligent.
So this is not... It doesn't feel like a commercial movie. A lot of folks have described this as an art house flick or an indie film. However, it's totally enjoyable because of the comedy.
I can imagine.
If it didn't have that comic element, then yes, you could be counting the minutes.
We've often discussed right here on this segment how comedy is often that spoonful of sugar to make that bitter medicine go down easier, right?
That's right.
Yeah. All right. We're going to go to our next song break. We'll be back with more about Voice of Silence or 소리도 없이. Here is Ihai singing Golden Slumbers. Once I was away to get back home. That was Ihai with a gorgeous rendition of Golden Slumbers. And we are back with Professor Cynthia here. If you're just tuning in, it is our Tuesday segment here on One Fine Day. OFD and chill. We are chilling with this fantastic movie that actually, if there was no pandemic, probably would have broke box office records for that year. Because, first of all, had two really hot topic actors headlining, Yoo Ah-in and Yoo Jae-myung. And also, just the pairing of the two, it's sort of like a music fan when we hear about this unusual collaboration. We're like, whoa, I totally want to hear that song. This was that kind of movie with that kind of buzz. Two misfits stuck with this inadvertently kidnapping an 11-year-old girl who also plays a really key role. While we were listening to Ihai's song, you told me this fascinating inspiration background trivia about this film.
Yeah, it's actually based on a very famous Korean folktale.
Oh.
Which actually I also heard as similar folktales in other cultures.
Okay.
It's called the hare's liver or 별주부전.
별주부전.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the basic story goes like this. The dragon king that lives in the sea is dying of an incurable illness which can only be cured through the liver of a hare or a rabbit.
So he must obtain the liver of a hare.
Mm-hmm. So he sends out his trusty kind of turtle servant.
Turtle sergeant.
Mm-hmm. To grab this, you know, hare or rabbit on land. And the turtle tricks the rabbit or hare into coming with him to the undersea kingdom.
Come to the kingdom.
You know, like riches and glory. You'll
promises
be working for the king.
Oh, okay.
But when he arrives, he discovers that, oh no, they just want his liver. His time is up.
His time is up.
So the hare, being the very kind of intelligent and slightly trickster character that he is.
Right. He symbolizes a quick wit. But also the rabbit is always known as a very meek animal.
He's weak.
So he can't beat a dragon. He can't beat a giant sea turtle. So has to beat the game with his wits.
Yes. So he tells the king, you know, I don't have my liver with me. I'm sorry.
Oh, darn it.
You know, it's
left it at home?
It's back on land at my home because, you know, we don't actually have our livers inside our bodies. We keep it outside just for these sorts of situations.
Oh, that's
right?
Awesome.
But I'll be happy to give my liver to you. Just take me home or take me on land.
Okay.
So the turtle takes him back on land. And as soon as he gets back on land, he kind of hops away, escaping, calling out to the turtle. Why? I mean, are you a fool? Like, why would you believe such a thing? Thank
Taunting
you.
Him a little.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See you never.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that kind of reminds me of this little hint that you gave us before about a rabbit mask.
Yes.
That the little girl was wearing when she's first discovered or first introduced on film. So maybe that's a little hint. For those listeners who actually watched the movie, maybe it's worth a second watch with this new information in mind.
Yes. You know, the director said that she was influenced by the story. You know, sometimes the rabbit is portrayed as sort of this trickster who, but not as a very kind of positive character, but as a kind of, you know, someone who breaks the rules.
Cunning,
as if they're supposed to sacrifice themselves
right,
to the dragon
betrayer,
king.
Betrayer, only looking out for themselves. That's the kind of image I have, too.
Yes. But she said it's natural for... It's exactly natural. It's totally natural for the rabbit to have done what he did, right? And it's... She feels that in modern societies, a lot of folks do really unethical things that hurt each other because they were told to do so. You know, in some ways, we're all kind of perpetrators in crime, you know, allowing sort of the other folks and other members of society to be victimized. Sort of
maybe in our passivity.
Yes, to close our eyes to the sort of violence in our society, to the inequitable inequity in our society.
I see.
Right? And she doesn't really point out what they are. She doesn't pinpoint them, but I think we all know what some of these problems
so
in our society
may be. So she's suggesting these things.
Yes.
This is also really intelligent, but she's not like proselytized. She's not preaching
right.
something in particular, mm-hmm. but maybe just sort of through her very like subverting genre, mm-hmm. subverting good guy is actually a bad guy, mm-hmm. kind of this whole anti-hero
That's
aspect,
right.
and using these tropes to just make us kind of question a little bit. What were we expecting? Were we expecting them to yeah. ride off into the sunset happy mm-hmm. and rich and mm-hmm.
consequences
really?
Be, mm-hmm. you know, be
or they all fall in love with each other and feel compassion, become a wonderful little family. They move mm-hmm. out to the countryside and that's like, I know that's what I want to happen.
I know. I actually saw this review by someone from the Roger Ebert website mm-hmm. who said the movie is always genuine, just like its warming faith in people. And I was like, did this guy watch the movie? There are kidnappers.
Yeah.
There's a couple that kidnap and drug young children with soju and yakurutu.
Oh my goodness.
At one point, two of the child kidnappers discover someone buried alive and they are, quote unquote, horrified that okay. someone would do that thing. As if kidnapping children is okay, but burying people alive is
That's not. That's not. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's true. Blurred lines. That's
right.
That's for sure.
So actually, the original title that she was thinking for this movie was 소리도 없이 우리는 괴물이 된다.
Oh, that totally changes everything.
Right?
Without a sound, without mm-hmm. even a sound, we all become monsters.
Yes. Because she felt that, you know, it's the movie and the story mm-hmm. Portrays how people sometimes in the process of just survival may do unthinkable things
right.
to each other.
Right. And
right?
obviously her characters are an extreme example, mm-hmm. but we need that extreme example demonstrated to us to even think about the subtler things.
Yeah. Sometimes mm-hmm. we are not, direct mm-hmm. perpetrators of crime, but
sure.
just by closing our eyes to mm-hmm. the sort of inequity,
yeah.
the sort of problems in society, we
right.
are indirectly
maybe contributing somehow.
Yeah, contributing to the problem.
That's
so
a very bold statement.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but she took out 우리는 괴물이 된다 because mm-hmm. she felt maybe that would be a little bit too much.
A little heavy-handed.
A little heavy-handed,
yes.
giving away too much of the story, maybe. Because
yeah.
she wants to leave it for each individual viewer.
So, you know, she actually mm-hmm. leaves only the first half of the phrase, 소리도 없이, and then basically that's the beginning of, it's a one clause, and mm-hmm. it's like a dot, dot, dot,
mm-hmm.
where she's inviting us as viewers to fill in the blank, complete mm-hmm. the sentence ourselves.
That's right.
That's pretty fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll be back with more, but first, another song break. Here is Yunmire with It's My Life. That's Yunmire with her cover of It's My Life, mm-hmm. and Cynthia and I, both being from North America originally, totally singing along. Why do mm-hmm. we know every lyric of that song?
It's kind of, it's, you know, when the bars close and the lights go up. This
it's
is a song that goes
closing time. Yeah, it's one of those last call songs,
it
right?
Is.
Where we're all singing like, slurred
we're
speech.
You know, arm in arm with everyone. Mm-hmm. We've now become friends with everyone there.
True. Good, nice expat bar days. Yeah, I remember that. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. All right. We have some time left, and this is how Cynthia wanted to treat me for my two hard days at taping. She said, don't worry, we'll sit down and do a little Yoo Jae-myung fangirling.
Chunk-a-night-do.
What does Chunk-a-night-do come from?
It comes from his breakout role in 비밀의 숲, right?
Yeah.
Stranger.
Yes.
Where he plays the prosecutor Lee Chang-jun. That's
right.
Where the Chunk-a Night comes
from. Chunk-a Night, not Dark Knight.
It's a combination of Lee Chang-jun and Dark Knight.
Ah, Chunk-a Night.
Because he plays a sort of anti-hero kind of character,
definitely,
right?
He was the main, we can just say, broadly speaking, the main antagonist
mm-hmm.
to Jo Sung-woo's protagonist
mm-hmm.
in Stranger or 비밀의 숲.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, before this role, mm-hmm. I had only known him through his hilarious rendition of Ryu Dong-yung's mm-hmm. father as Ryu Jae-myung
okay.
in 응답하라
mm-hmm.
1988.
Oh, okay. Reply. He was in one of the Reply ones, mm-hmm. 1988.
That's right.
I actually recently spotted him.
Yes.
in a very small role even before Reply.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He actually plays a small role in Missing.
Oh, that's right. He has a small role in there as well.
And he does a fantastic rural accent.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually, he plays a laborer, a factory worker, head of the factory workers union.
Now I remember that
role.
Yes, that's right.
You know, the guy who has the ties with the Han Sung-yu, with the factory worker guys.
Yes.
And he's like, you know, we're just trying to make a living and our equipment is old. And then I'm sitting there watching it. Hey!
There he is.
There
Chunk
he is.
Knight.
Chunk Knight, before he was Chunk Knight, way back when, getting small roles.
Yeah.
This is substantial because he started out in TV really late, no?
Yeah, because he started out in theater. And he still, you know, acts in theater, directs and writes plays for, you know, live theater.
So he had a whole career before this new career. For, you know, some of our listeners, a good way to think of it is think of Jeon Mi-do from Hospital Playlist.
Yes.
We just listened to a song from that soundtrack. Mm-hmm. She's a breakout star. No one's ever seen her on TV before, ever.
That's right.
Before Hospital Playlist, but she's had 20 years, almost, or 15 years as a very successful theater actress or musical theater actress.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of like that. When I saw him in Itaewon Class for the first time...
Oh, that's your pick, right?
I thought he was really old.
They did a great job with the makeup. You're right.
I really thought he was like, I don't know, in his 60s?
Uh-huh.
And then I was shocked to discover he's actually just a few years older than me.
I believe he's still a little older than me. So one day maybe I'll be able to call him Oppa. But
he is full on just Oppa. Mm-hmm. There is too little of an age difference between him and I for us to be anything else. He is just my Oppa. He's not even 50.
Yeah.
Young guy, but he is able to just...
Now,
shocked.
You love his voice. In Korean, we call it 발성.
발성.
And it's such a range.
Yeah.
You know, he can sort of belt it out.
Very ringing.
And then he can kind of let it kind of go into a lot of different places with his control of different saturi.
Yes.
Right?
So good.
So he can do the sort of Chunk Knight, too, you know, character. But he can also do these sort of ajashi characters. These very comical characters that we saw in 응답하라.
Yes.
Kind of not so comical in Misaeng, but, you know, he has such a range of characters.
He was
characters.
Folksy.
Yes. They call him actually Chane Orgul, Peu.
Chane Orgul.
Actor of a thousand faces.
Very appropriate. He's one of those guys where you're just shocked when you actually see him. You know, a lot of Hollywood actors come to mind, sort of like a Christian Bale thing going on. We're just very chameleon.
He's also, I didn't realize, but we call it in Korean sort of physical. He's very tall. He's 183 centimeters tall. But apparently Cho Seung-woo said if he stretches out a little bit, he's even taller.
He's even taller.
And, you know, part of his sort of appeal in Stranger was that he wore his suits really well. Apparently he lost a little bit, even more weight to fit into those really, you know, elegant suits.
He was dapper, for lack of a better word. Dapper and slim and long and lithe, like a snake, kind of like his character. And yeah, you're right. I've noticed how much he just kind of towered over Cho Seung-woo.
He moves very well, too. Actually, fans have created these short little videos of him just walking in various scenes.
Really?
And he just has this awesome, very, like, long-legged, sort of long strides.
Long strides.
Right? So people have, you know, described him as suit changjin, physical chanje, you know, and just even talked about his very elegant gait.
Well, in theater... You're not cropped up in, you know, close-up shots or bust shots or anything like that. It's just you on stage, the full package. So he's very aware, probably, of every single movement of every digit, right? Wow, that's pretty fantastic.
You know, RPD described how she loved his very sort of smaller role in a drama called The Good Wife, based on the popular U.S. series.
The Good Wife.
Where he plays this attorney at law who has kind of a physical problem. Well, he has an issue. So, yes, he drags his leg and he can't quite control his hands.
Interesting.
But it's... you know, on one hand, he's kind of he plays a devious sort of, you know, legal maneuvering kind of character. But he also uses these sorts of physicality. There's a lot of physicality in his acting.
I see.
That he uses so inventively, but also very naturally. So maybe all those years of being on the stage have made him just, you know, not an actor just for the sort of two-dimensional, small screen, but a real three-dimensional kind of on-stage, live stage
already performance. So versatile and relatively very short filmography.
Yes.
But he already brought to the table a long history of experience. Mm-hmm. He's already a veteran.
Yes.
It's weird to think of him as a veteran shinin.
I know.
Yeah. Any new projects coming up for Yoo Jae-myung, for those like me who are big fans?
I'm so excited to tell you there are two movies coming out.
Well,
in which he has a starring role.
Nice.
He has a new movie. He actually finished filming this, I think, couple of years ago, but maybe because of COVID,
they delayed the release.
They delayed it and may come out this year. It's called Kingmaker with Seol Kyung-gu.
Seol Kyung-gu.
Huge actor, right?
Yeah.
Which is kind of about, it's a political intrigue, I think, drama.
I love that name, Kingmaker.
Kingmaker.
Yeah.
And then he's also coming out in the movie called 소방관 or Firefighters from director Kwak Kyung-taek, who is very famous for his movie 친구 or Friends.
Oh, 친구 director. It has a new movie coming out with Yoo Jae-myung.
Yes.
Already excited.
But he will also be coming to you on the small screen.
Ooh.
Yes. It's coming out this month, actually. It's called Hometown.
Okay.
But it's not a homey hometown. The drama is described as a horror, terror, mystery.
Oh, that's all my stuff.
Right?
That's my jam.
And he's the main character. He plays a police officer. And the other two main characters are played by Han Ye-ri.
Oh.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Right? And Eum Tae-gu. I love him as well.
Eum Tae-gu, not as familiar with. Interesting.
I think if you see his face, you'll recognize him.
I'll recognize him. That's probably for sure.
Very good casting.
Horror, terror, mystery drama coming out. Lots of fantastic things in store. We just had to take a little time. Thank you so much, Cynthia, for indulging a little fangirling time for Yoo Jae-myung. Maybe we can actually even carry it on to...
I would love to do that, too.
Yeah, some more projects in the future as well. But it's time to wrap up OFD and Chill for this week. We thank you so much, Cynthia, for joining us.
That was fun.
All right. We hope you go home safely and have a great week.
Oh, you too.
All right. Taking Cynthia out, here is John Park with I'm Always By Your Side. That is it for today's show. Thank you so much for joining us. The last song I have for you today is actually a request by listener, home listener K12227819. Wanted to listen to something upbeat. So here is B2B with Outsider. Thanks for tuning in. See you tomorrow.